I'm going to be talking from or preaching from Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21, if you want to go ahead and be turning there. I'm thankful for the opportunity to preach, even though it's not under the best circumstances. We pray for David and his family during this time. But I'm thankful for David giving me the opportunity to fill in for him. As I was thinking about preaching today, I was remembering what I preached about last time and the illustration I gave of the young girl asking her mom, who is this guy up here that is standing in the way so we can't see Jesus? And I pray that I would not be up here standing in the way so you don't see Jesus. I pray that you would hear from the Word of God and hear what He would have to say through me. But in this passage, Paul speaks of his goal, of his dream. And a dream that I have is to hike the Appalachian Trail. If some of you don't know what that is, it's a hiking trail that is 2,186 miles from Georgia up to Maine. And every year, thousands of people attempt to hike this trail. And only a slim amount of them actually complete their goal. Whether it be difficulties they have along the trail or whether they're thinking about what they left at home, they don't complete it and they go back home not to realize their dream. And I recently read a book by Paul Stutzman. He said that if hiking the trail is not the number one thing in your life at that moment, you will never complete it. So much like the goal of hiking the Appalachian Trail, if we're not pressing on, we're not fighting through the difficulties and even the successes in our life, we'll fall short and we won't accomplish that goal. So the idea today is that if to reach our goal of conformity to Christ, to become more like Him and to know Him, we must press on. And this is the idea that Paul presents in Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 through 21. There's a little background on Philippians. This is one of my favorite books of the Bible. Paul had established the church in Philippi on his second missionary journey. And he was writing this letter to them to encourage them to grow in their faith and to be unified as a church and as the body of believers. And also to combat this false doctrine that was coming in that was trying to lead them astray. And in this book, Paul says some pretty profound things. He says, to me, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. He says, to make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus. And now he's talking about this goal. In verses 1 through 11 of this chapter, he's combating this group of people who had put the emphasis on the law, of fulfilling the law. And he says that he himself had the ability to boast in the law because he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was an Israelite that upheld the law. He was from the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews. As to the law, he had every reason to boast. But he says he counted all of that as lost because of Christ. And in verses 10 and 11, he gives his goal. He says, my goal is to know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, assuming that I will somehow reach the resurrection from the dead. And in 12 and following, Paul gives us 4 points that can help us to press on to accomplish that goal. I'll now read that text. Or first, let's pray. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you would remove my inabilities and you would speak through me. Lord, I pray that we would hear the truth of your word, that we would apply it to our lives and we would be changed. I pray all these things in your name. Amen. Now I'll read the text. says, "Not that I have already reached the goal or am already fully mature, but I make every effort to take hold of it, because I've also been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead. I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, all who are mature should think the same way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have attained. Join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we are also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. He will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself." So the first point we see here that Paul presents of how we can press on to accomplish this goal is that we must first realize that we have not yet obtained it. He says, not that I've already reached the goal or am fully mature, but he has been taken hold of by Christ. That's the first step in the process. If we haven't been taken hold of by Christ, then we're not yet believers. We're not yet able to reach the goal. And we know from Paul's life that his being taken hold of by Christ was quite dramatic. He had been a persecutor of the church. He was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus came before him and said, "Paul, you will follow me and you will preach my word to the Gentiles." If we think about it, we all had that. If we're Christians, if we're in Christ, if he has taken hold of us, we've had a dramatic change of life. You know, as Paul says in Ephesians, we were once dead in the darkness of our sins, but now we are raised to life in Christ. So he says that he presses on and makes every effort to take hold of this goal because of Christ taking hold of him. And then again he says, "I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but I forget what is behind, and I press on to what lies ahead." And in my life, there have been these times where maybe it was a difficulty, or maybe it was just this really high spiritual moment in my life where it becomes difficult to press on past that. The difficulties can get you down to the point where you don't want to move on anymore. And the successes can bring you to this high place where you don't want to leave. Whenever I was called into the ministry, I experienced a really closeness to God that oftentimes I think back on it and I wish I was in that place again. But God calls us to press on, to move on through those, to use those mountaintop experiences to help us to grow in our relationship with him, but not that we would stay there, that we would continue to grow, continue to move. He doesn't want those valleys in our life either to affect us, to hold us back. And Paul says he forgets those things that are behind and reaches forward to what is ahead. He pursues the goal of the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. As most of you know, I'm from Alabama. The University of Alabama's coach, Nick Saban, like him or hate him, I don't know, but he kind of demonstrates this in his coaching philosophy. After his team won the national championship a couple years back, he was being interviewed. And he said to the interviewer, he said, now 2 days, and we're focused on next year. We're going to celebrate this victory for the time, but we're focusing now on next year, on reaching this place of excellency again. He was not satisfied with having attained that national championship. He wanted to do it again and again, and he's pretty good at it. But that should be our goal in our Christian lives. And Paul demonstrates here a dissatisfaction with where he is. If we're all true to ourselves, no matter if we've been a Christian for a short time or a long time, none of us have grown to our full potential yet. And none of us will in this life here on earth. We must press on because we have not yet obtained the goal. So then the next thing that Paul says is in verses 15 and 16. That we have not yet obtained the goal, but we must lift up to whatever truth that we have currently obtained. He says, therefore, all who are mature should think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this to you also. In any case, we should live up to whatever truth we have obtained. Paul's saying that there are some that are mature in the faith, but there are some that are immature in the faith that still think differently than Paul did. And he says that's okay, just live up to the truth that you've currently obtained, and God will reveal it to you as you grow closer to Him. And in thinking about that, I thought about whenever I was teaching my nephew how to fish. He's 8 years old now. And we're just using the standard Zebco 33, the click button, the reel. My nephew's name is Jason, by the way. I've been taking him fishing since he was 3 years old. And when we would first start fishing, he would cast it out and he would start reeling it this way. If you know how a spin casting reel works, the button's right here, the reel's on this side. He would flip it upside down and reel it backwards with his left hand. And I would try to correct him. I'd turn it over, say, this is how you do it. But he would keep doing it the other way. But as he's watched me fish, as he's learned more about fishing, he's slowly beginning to do it the right way. And that's the idea Paul has here. He says, it's okay that you haven't reached spiritual maturity yet. It's okay that you may have different ideas about what the truth is. But don't stay there. Live up to that you have currently, but continue to grow, continue to learn. So first, we must realize we haven't obtained a goal. But at the moment, we must live up to the truth that we have currently obtained. And then third, Paul says that we should follow the examples of others. Follow example of those who are mature in the faith. And this is in verses 17 through 20. It says, join in imitating me, brothers, and observe those who live according to the example you have in us. For I have often told you, and now say again with tears, that many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach. Their glory is in their shame. They are focused on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he tells them to join in imitating me. Again, not that he had obtained perfection yet, but as he says in other places, he says, join in following me as I follow Christ. He said, observe and live according to the example of those who are mature in the faith. He presents that as the example we should follow, and he presents the other example that we should not follow. He said, don't follow those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. And they're focused on earthly things, on obtaining earthly possessions, or just obtaining the most they can have in this life. Paul says that we are not to focus on those things. As Jesus says in his Sermon on the Mount, we are to seek first the kingdom of heaven. So our citizenship isn't here. We are temporary residents. And we eagerly wait for a Savior. And in a commentary I read, D.A. Carson, he had started a Bible study in his college whenever he was a new believer, and he started this Bible study in his dorm room. And quickly, 12 or 14 people started coming, and they were asking him questions that he didn't know how to answer. And there was this guy on campus named Dave who was known for answering questions about the faith. He was known for his faith in Christ and his maturity in faith and his ability to answer questions about the faith. So he went to Dave with two of these guys that had questions that he couldn't answer. And he allowed them to ask Dave these questions. And one of the people said, how do I know that this Christianity is real? And Dave simply said, watch me. And are we to press on? We should strive to become that example to other believers, that they can just watch our lives and see that we have Christ in us, to see that this is how Christianity is lived out. There's two things here that kind of come as a side note to this. We should strive to be the example that we can be. And if we're younger in our faith, we should strive to find people who will be that example to us, who will mentor us and help us to grow. But we should always be trying to find people who we can invest in and help them to grow, help them to focus on the heavenly call. So we have to realize that we haven't obtained the goal. We have to realize that we can live up to the truth we have currently attained, but we should continue to grow in that. And we should follow the example of mature believers, not those who live as enemies of the cross of Christ. But we press on by waiting for the day of completion when the Lord Jesus will come and return. He says, but our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. When he comes, he will transform the body of our humble condition into the likeness of his glorious body by the power that enables him to subject everything to himself. We realize that in this life we have, though we can't obtain the goal until he returns, we should strive to be sanctified, to be growing in our faith, becoming more like Christ as we can here on earth by following the example of others. But we eagerly await the return of Christ, where he would transform our bodies into the likeness of his glorious body. He will glorify us, and we will become like him. We will be changed from the inside out. Sin will be no more. Pain will be no more. And we will be like him. So the message today is to realize that no matter how long you've been a Christian, you have not yet obtained that goal. And if you're here today and you haven't yet been taken hold of by Christ, I pray that today is that day that you will realize what he did for you, that he died on the cross for your sins, that you could be forgiven, so that you could start on this goal to become more like him. Maybe you're here today and you realize that you have not taken hold of it. You've allowed some difficulty or some success in your life to keep you at a standstill. And I pray that you would press on. So we must realize that we have not obtained the goal, but we live up to what we have. We follow the example of other believers, and we eagerly await the completion in Christ. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Paul's example to us. Lord, I pray that we would each realize that we have not yet obtained the goal, that we have so much further to grow. I pray that you would conform our minds and our hearts to your word, that we become more like you, that we would be examples to others who are younger in the faith, and we would seek out those who we can follow. I pray that we would each eagerly await the return of Christ, where we would be glorified, where we would be changed forever, Lord. We thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for this opportunity to be here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.